Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Ray Science, it's Chuck as a Wrecker Show on the Speedway Anywhere podcast. Your all-inclusive multi-sports and motorsports, especially show on blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere, as well as live in-studio video on Facebook Live on facebook.com/Speedway Anywhere. Add yourself and follow the show on Facebook.com/Speedway Anywhere. You'll get your weekly updates in between the shows, as well as easy access to our speed bits and also our live in studio video. Or if you're on my own page on Facebook Live, we'll be adding that in just a little bit here tonight. Speedway Anywhere, you're all inclusive motorsports show, and maybe even some multi-sports. The live contact or interact on Facebook Live is 917-889-2053. See, I'm screwing up my notes here because I'm reading ahead. You can also call in, though, 917-889-2053 during the live show. Interact with us or on Facebook Live on the side post, the chat. Again, one more time, 917-889-2053. We're typically live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. I'm your crew chief Q. Captain Kurt will be joining us later on as well. It's Thursday, March 9th. It's our weekend preview of Kansas, as well as a brief recap of last weekend at Dover. It's also our show leading up to Mother's Day. So, happy Mom's Day to all. If it's an expecting mother, though, I was thinking about this earlier today. You know, just whatever perspective. Leading up to Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all. But if you're an expecting mother, should you still get Mother's Day gifts? I think it still qualifies, but I would have to say yes on the point that it has to hold true for Father's Day. There is something that I didn't script here. Mother's Day weekend also means most series are racing Friday and Saturday, Friday and Saturday nights, as well as the Indy kickoff on Saturday afternoon at Indy on the Enfield Road Course. A few speed bits on that, by the way. But yeah, how do you judge that as far as Father's Day versus, we'll bring Captain Kurt in on that. later on, get another perspective. I'm hopefully expecting a call or two for regional drivers as well, and maybe we can spring it on them, get them in trouble with their wives, or maybe a few that are unanointed at this point. A few speed bits from this week. Lack of passing at Dover. Mostly the Xfinity series where Cole Custer led over half the race. I believe it was 155 laps. I do have that stat coming up later on. But in the early to mid race of a 200 lap race on 1 mile, Cole Custer did lead most of it, and the lack of passing had a lot to do with it. Add to that, drivers had to get creative using traffic as picks, be it lap traffic and whatnot. Case in point, the move Johnny Sauter made for the lead, don't get me wrong, I like a little outfoxing with a lap car. I do. But outfoxing the leader as they're coming up to him and the driver uses the leader and the lap car as a pick. Or pit strategies, stops, pit stops. But I get a little bummed when there's no good old-fashioned mano-a-mano passing going on. Say, overtaking a driver with no one in the way and that kind of passing going on. Apparently, drivers weren't pleased with it either. So, should NASCAR look back at this rules package for the millionth time that we have now? It's going on in the truck series, the Xfinity series, and the Cup series, by the way. But apparently drivers weren't so happy with it. A key factor to this is obviously the increased downforce and corner speeds that went up, going up around 15 miles per hour faster at a track like Dover. The high banks at Dover lent themselves to this type of racing. I'm not a driver, and I would have to say that without the drivers being able to move the air around a little bit, or a lot bit in the turns, you know, it lent itself to that 15 mile per hour increase in speeds. Not sure what this will mean as we get to tracks like Darlington, 1.33 mile or 1 1/3, or call it what you want. I think we'll still get our Darlington stripes going on there. It doesn't matter what kind of car they put together. Sorry about that. I didn't completely write what I wanted to say. But yeah, when we get to cars at the egg-shaped oval of Darlington and a few similar-sized tracks, I don't know if that means the multiple banking at Miami Homestead and whatnot, but they are talking about a lot of it. I don't really care for the rules being changed as far as aerodynamics and whatnot as the season has already begun, because let's face it, you can't just go around changing things after the season is underway and expect drivers to find that fair. And you know, it's bad enough that going into this year at Daytona with the original restrictor plate that we dealt with kind of And then they change it at Talladega. My point is, it takes a lot of rebuilding and a lot of re-engineering, and in a sport where they're trying to keep costs down, if you can't race the same car that you brought to Dover, and then all of a sudden it's a big mess come September at Darlington, you know, those kinds of things. Oh, I could go into that forever. Another speed bit. Casey Kane. Casey, who stepped out of the Cup Series last year, was going to get back to sprint car racing, shorter races, better ventilation. Apparently, there was a lot of exhaustion going on that took him out of the Cup Series car. He wanted to go to sprint car racing, as he's done for years and years, be it dirt, be it USAC and whatnot, as he did. He's now sitting out many of his planned events after a wreck March 29th. I lost my spot. Nature of his injuries are not disclosed, nor is length of time before he gets back in the car. So, last 2 years have definitely been a detriment, a rough stretch for Casey Kane. You got to remember, he's got 18 Cup wins. He's got multiple wins in the Busch Series. He's got multiple wins in, I mean, even in World of Outlaws, sprint cars, you name it, he's got it. So after Darlington last year, Matt DiBenedetto, he took over the car at the beginning of this year in the 95. Regan Smith actually finished out the 2019 season for Kane. His actual retirement was kind of up in the air. So that was a lot of Casey Kane fans that were, you know, kind of like, what's going on? I wasn't initially a huge fan of him. I don't like to see anything happen to anyone as far as the professionals of the sport. But when they start coming out with TV commercials about the girls having a crush on Casey Kane, well, that's a little out there for me. Hey, I'm going to hit the break, hit the bumper music. We'll come back and see what Bubba thinks, and then we're going to get to some of the recap, some of the pre-cap, and take it from there.
today. I've been watching NASCAR and drinking beer. That's your favorite sport. Yeah, NASCAR is too. You know, NASCAR is very hot right now. Oh, I know. Everybody loves NASCAR. Well, Sweet Daddy said it's just a bunch of guys driving in a circle. Oh, I know. That's my favorite part. They're making a left turn. It's a sport that's easy to follow when you're hammered.
Hey, bring in 917-889-2053. And then the live in studio feed soon, and not got that open yet. Follow the page on Facebook at www.facebook.com/SpeedwayAnywhere, all one word, Speedway Anywhere. Again, 917-889-2053. That's our live blogtalkradio.com call-in number. So, let's recap and precap. As far as the Cup Series, now after the drivers manipulated the multi-car qualifying at Fontana, California, it's officially back to single-car qualifying, like the olden days. Officially, for now. Now, I'm not trusting which... How many rules they've changed throughout this year, that 2019, by the way. I don't know if they're just feeling around the walls, literally along the walls, but they need to come up with a package that everyone's on equal ground going into creating a championship. Otherwise, you might have some ugly circumstances. So let's recap a little bit of Dover. Day late after the rain, but two wins to the good. Martin Truex Jr. got his second win of the season. And then, but my eyes are on that Alex Bowman. Two second places in a row. He's coming on strong lately. I got to stick to my notes here. Otherwise, I'm going to distract my brain cells. He finished second. And this after Chase Elliott ran at Talladega and won. Elliott being Bowman's teammate. Now Bowman leading a bunch of laps and finishing second 2 weeks in a row. After a long streak of DNFs and bad luck, we got Kyle Larson, who me and one of my cohorts were talking about for a bit. You know, he's in 14th, he's in 19th, he's in 21st, he's in 15th. After a long streak of DNFs and Chevy's bad luck, Kyle Larson got a much-needed top five, finishing third at Dover. Crazy to think he is 21st in points after Talladega. So, it was another four for the four with Kevin Harvick still without a win and having, I can't read my notes, having third at this point, or three at this point last year. So that was the Stuart Haas dominance. They'll be fine. I guarantee you they're in the top 16 coming out of 26 races into the year, but they're probably going to be fine as far as getting into the top 12. Daniel Suarez is showing shots of brilliance. And even more. Last week's winner, Chase Elliott, he rounded out the top five. I can't believe I'm stuttering on that, but that's what I get for reading too far ahead. If the Facebook buddies want to share their opinion about, call it Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, whatever. Once again, 917-889-2053. I'm always open for a good debate session. So, but yeah, Chase Elliott rounded out the top five at Dover. So the finish went Martin Truex for his second finish, second win of the year. Alex Bowman coming on strong. Kyle Larson finally got that finish he needed. Kevin Harvick, anyone that's listened to me for the last year and a half knows that I love that guy. And then Chase Elliott, who obviously, you know, he could be the upset. So I want to say something so bad, and it relates to Joey Logano, but take that good, take that bad. As far as the win, you're in Chase Field. Kyle Busch, he's got three. Martin Truex Jr. has two. Brad Keselowski with two. Denny Hamlin would too. Now, when you look at this Joe Gibbs camp, you're looking at Truex, you're looking at Kyle Busch with three, you're looking at Denny Hamlin with kind of quiet in a way, if that makes sense. The Chevy camp of Chase Elliott, Alex Bowman, yeah, they're making headlines right now, but it's still so early in the year. You can't look at it. Joey Logano and Chase Elliott each have one win. Kevin Harvick is next based on points. Kyle Larson rebounded to 15th from 21st with one good day in a while. I'm going to call that stage points. Does that make sense? Kevin Harvick's bank was so full with stage points. And this is what, regardless of the bad finishes, the stage points are what has saved Kyle Larson thus far. Even though it's a 15th, it's still good enough for the chase at the end of the year. Not sure where that would get him, where that would put him. With Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, Alex Bowman, and recent back-to-back top twos for Bowman, not a whole lot of talk about Chevys struggling. You got to admit that. Larson's struggle and Bowman needing to perform. You know, the Chevys have crawled up a bit when you look at the entire scope. So that's, I don't have all that in front of me. Where are we at? 135, 136. All right. It's on for Kansas for the 12th Cup race. I think that's 12th. Do I got that correct? Maybe Clayton can call in and correct me on that. But I believe that Kansas is the 12th Cup race of 2019. This Saturday is for a night race. Bring mom, even if she hates racing, because Kansas is a very fan friendly facility. Parking is definitely one of the better, with lots of scooter rides. Well, not scooter, but you know, Cushman rides. You can go from the back of the parking lot to the gate in a matter of seconds, depending upon how hard you want to hold on to the bars. on the canopy, basically golf carts. I love that place. So get your rides up to the gate, and the traffic plan is probably the fastest egress from the speedway I've ever been a part of, I've ever been through, with leaving before the checkered flag. Yes, I did that. It was 2014. Joey Logano won the race. It was obvious. And Dale Jr., Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick, and a lot of prematurely worn out tires. I was just like 20 laps to go. Let's give ourselves a break and get on to, is that I-70? I believe. But yeah, we didn't have a hotel for that night, and we had to get over to I-35 and make the northbound jaunt. But yeah, Kansas would be a great track to take mom out to. I don't know. I gotta take a look at a quick little notification. And, it didn't even matter. That's all right. So, let's get back to the show. I need an engineer. I need a producer. I need something. Let's see. We're about almost an hour and a half in. And I'm hoping that a few certain someones will be on the show tonight. So, let's see. So, the Xfinity Series hit the green flag at Dover Saturday for their final Dash for Cash race. And the day started out as the rest of the weekend was. Gray skies and gray around the air. Really foggy. And it seemed to me, too, that the Yankees and all those, was that the Yankees? Yeah, it was. Against the Minnesota Twins. They had a low cloud deck. So, and one of our buddies from Talking in Circles could probably relate to some. No, excuse me. Relate to some of that too, that yeah, that Upper East Coast, mid to Upper East Coast was stuck in a cluster of clouds, even though it wasn't really rain. But either way, Cole Custer, once things got underway, led the most laps with 155. And like I talked about earlier, passing was a factor. We were looking at the faster speeds in the turns, and they just couldn't get it done. So when you look at Cole Custer leading the most laps on that Saturday race, and then Christopher Bell with 44 laps led, and then Justin Allgaier led a lap. That's not the kind of racing you want to see. It's a combination of the aero package from the Cup Series. It's a combination of the aero package from the other two major divisions, the Xfinity and the Truck Series. So call it what you want, but at the end of the day, 200 laps was Christopher Bell. Justin Allgaier Had a solid day, finishing second. God, he needed it. When I look at these guys like Kyle Larson and Allgaier, and they just can't finish off the day. Tyler Reddick, last year's champion, already has a lock for the chase with a win. He landed third. Cole Custer with two wins. And then Chase Briscoe rounded up the top five. End of the day was Christopher Bell, Justin Allgaier, Tyler Reddick, Cole Custer, and Chase Briscoe in that order. Trying to figure out what's the most important point to get to here as the Xfinity Series has the weekend off and the Truck Series is headed out to Kansas. I gotta say I'm impressed with Chase Briscoe. He's got 8 top 10s. 5 of them are top 5s. His lowest of 2019 has been 15th at Atlanta. He's going to find victory lane soon. Couple of notables on the not so good side. Noah Gregson just can't finish the way he runs. Gregson finished 19th at Dover. This has been typical of his team, himself. Two more are John Hunter Nemechek and Ross Chastain. Those guys can get up front. They just can't hold on to it. They both seem like they could at least land in the top five, but once again, Hunter Nemechek ended up 8th and Chastain in 12th. Yes. Points after their 10th race, Tyler Reddick with the win and would lead the points with or without Christopher Bell, obviously, dominant. Cole Custer, not far behind Bell. Michael Annette, the winner at Daytona, he's all got a lock in the chase if it was to begin today. I needed to enlarge my screen here. Austin Cindric, Justin Allgaier, Chase Briscoe, John Hunter Nemechek, Ryan Sieg, Noah Gregson. There's your top 10 if the chase was to begin today. Obviously, they have 12 drivers. And then the final two of the chase would be Justin Haley and Brandon Jones. Remember, Justin Haley performed extremely well in the Truck Series. And that would put him 10th. And then Brandon Jones would be your last of the two in the field of 12 chase drivers. Xfinity will take a few weekends off before they run the big Memorial Weekend events. Saturday, May 25th. So, yeah, they got some downtime going on until they head back to Bristol. So, that's the day before Memorial Weekend Sunday race. Now, let me explain that. The Sunday, the day before Memorial Day, and it's the biggest day of the Indy 500 and Coca-Cola 600. By the way, Ross Chastain is still adding to his Ironman season. If you don't know what that is, and you might not have heard his name, he has yet to miss a start in any of the top three NASCAR major Series. Ross Chastain is running for Xfinity points. I believe he's running better than most in the trucks if he is running for points, and is better than 30th. Now, if you look at the points as far as owner points, he would be doing extremely well. But yeah, if he was running for cup points full time, Chastain is currently outside the top 10, or excuse me, top 12 drivers for the championship in the Xfinity Chase. But I promise you that will change before September. You might remember an earlier story from this year where Chastain, he was scrambling just to get a ride, and now he's got he's got four rides divided between three series. So, at one third of the 2019 year, it's almost like Chastain has put in a full season. He's ran 27 races, and I'm sure he's going to be back running trucks at Kansas. His RV is probably the first to the track on Wednesday or Thursday morning. I don't know. And then the last one to leave after the cup race. So go, Iron Ross, go. I'm going to, before we scoot ahead to a little recap on trucks from the previous weekend, I'm going to take a break because that's what my vocal cords are saying. And we'll be right back. Holy crap, my voice is worn out. Something like that. Yeah. I was going to scoop ahead to the trucks. We just got through Xfinity. And the trucks will be on, let's see, Friday. Yeah. After a hiatus, the NASCAR Gander Truck Series returned at Dover for the open event last Friday. The series has been off since our Martinsville race in March leading up to that. I think the break is just what our hometown boy needed, Johnny Sauter. So Sauter had two wins in a row at Dover in the previous years in the truck series, and Fridays went to him, and he battled hard with Brett Moffitt, who led 81 laps. It was Johnny who made it three races in a row for the spring events at Dover in the Truck Series. And Dover was giving out the gold, not the the conventional concrete trophies that they had been. So, yeah, Dover, with its 50th anniversary, they I wish they would have made the big boy, the monster, out in front there. That actually, the car that's, it used to be the Gordon car, and it took years for them to, well, of course, they replaced it once with Earnhardt's car when he passed away. So, but yeah, it's been the Harvick car for quite some time. Sauter led 43 laps, and the one that mattered most. So, let's throw in that Sheldon Creed. Hey, Kurt, you know that Sheldon Creed guy?
Heard the name.
Last year's ARCA champion.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he led 59 laps. And I want to go back to something earlier in the show as I was trying to hit the highlights of the week. It's boring to talk about them by myself. It's ridiculously hard to make a pass. And equally it's hard for them to pass again for the lead. So whether you sneak one away on pit road and whatnot, notable upcoming, if not already successful, Natalie Decker. She did fine. She finished 17th at the Monster Mile. But yeah, the final order, and I'll get back to my previous point. Final order 1 through 5 was Johnny Sauter with the win. Brett Moffitt in second. Harrison Burton, who's doing great. You know, my favorite driver, Jeff Burton, his kid. Grant Enfinger and Matt Crafton. So, points after Dover, Johnny Sauter now has a win you're in. His first win of the year. Austin Hill is locked into the win after, I think it was Daytona. I'm just going to call it Daytona. Points point to Grant Enfinger, Stuart Friesen, Brett Moffitt. If we were to call it the top right now. Now, here's the top subject. Beating up the news this week as far as NASCAR and auto racing overall, by the way. With the new rules package and more downforce, can you imagine going 14, 15 miles per hour faster through those tight Dover turns? And creating opportunity to either pass someone or not be passed. So that's what happened this last weekend. Hey, Monday we had a guest, and I didn't get to this. So, NHRA. Atlanta seemed like it would be another rainout event, but they got it all in. Friday qualifying ran late into the lights, late into the nights, and Brittany Force once again led tough field qualifying. Her teammate on the funny car side, Robert Height, came out ahead right in front of Papa John. Sunday's finals went to Steve Torrence in Top Fuel. Now with two in a row, six starts into 2019. So it took him a little bit to get out of the gate. I'm wondering if his daddy isn't giving the better equipment to him so daddy can just sit out. I mean, don't you think? It wasn't until Steve Torrence, like, totally caught stride last year on his way to the championship. And, you know, Papa Torrence, I think the engine shops are all building for Steve right now. And then part-timer Papa will come out late in the season as long as Steve's doing good. So, yeah, Steve Torrence went to Top Fuel with the win. Now with two in a row, six starts this year. Brittany Force, of course. The Brittany Force, of course, of course. She came out second to Steve Torrence. Funny car, Ron Capps, who was on the drought. He took the final over Tim Wilkerson. It's not even looking like the same class as last year. And but then 2018 champ J.R. Todd and Robert Height, they're your top contenders. John Force, 149 wins in the finals. He's still knocking on the door of his 150. Pro Stock Bike Run at Atlanta, Andrew Hines took his 100th win in the finals. And there was no talk about the size of the balls in Pro Stock Motorbike, by the way. We, ever since Tanner Gray we're not hearing about Andrew Hines and Eric Anders and blah, 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 you know, as they switch to the 18 car race versus the 26 or 24 of last year. So the points are Steve Torrence over Brittany, Leah Pritchett, and Doug Kalita. Funny car is Robert Height and newer contender Matt Hagen. Matt Hagen has commanded a lot of final wins. I'm sure that Mr. Knocking on the Door of 150, Papa John, would like to get past third. NHRA is going to take a week off before hitting the Boynton Plank Road in Virginia, the 17th through the 19th. Now, isn't Plank Road the Ice House Brewery? Isn't it?
That I'm not sure. I don't know.
You've never raised an ice house to your face and saw Plank Road Brewery.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if I was to look at an old Latrobe, I would know it's Rolling Rock, but
that I know.
I used to think that Ice House was the best beer because it was quite a bit stronger.
I'd go back and forth. And I remember before Jim Gaffigan became a star doing the Rolling Rock commercials at the bowling alley.
Who's Jim Gasco?
Jim Gaffigan? The comedian?
Jim Gaffigan. Is that the short little guy that all of a sudden goes, Ice House?
Nope. Jim Gaffigan did the Rolling Rock commercial. And that's what I was saying. Him at the bowling alley.
I was wondering who that little chubby balding dude in the Ice House commercials.
Where
it was like the original Man Cave. Remember those commercials?
Yeah.
Where it was like, Ice House! This is awesome! Give me 2 seconds for Gatorade. You know those spots on Major League or Bull Durham or whatever it was when Bob Uecker's like, what's his name? And then he's like, oh, who cares? No one's listening anyway.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. You know what? I get off on that. I really do. That is just like when somebody's like, no, I heard you talk about Mario Andretti. I'm like, I didn't talk about Mario Andretti last night. Oh, who cares? All right. Hey, I want to bring up another speed bit. We have a few cohorts in the racing biz. Fan for Racing and Talking in Circles. blogtalkradio.com/fanforracing and my buddy Clayton at blogtalkradio.com/talkingincircles. We had Clayton on the other night when I was probably beyond tired and probably beyond a office party. So, Fan for Racing, Mondays and Thursdays. I believe they're on it overlaps my show, but that's okay. I don't feel bad. If I can cross-promote. And then Talking in Circles with Clayton and Philip. Really cool guys. They're on, I believe they try to do their show leading up to the Sunday race, and they try to do a recap after the race. So, good old-fashioned Dave Spain type folks. It's pretty cool. And Clayton's obviously not afraid to express an opinion. So ARCA, Chris and Eckes came back and won Nashville. Eckes was set out for a couple weeks for a tear in his esophagus. Didn't have the best finish the first time he came back. But then he made it back to Nashville, Fairgrounds Speedway, and got right back to what he does best. I got to listen to his interview over on the preset Fan for Racing show from Monday. So ARCA will be running a tight schedule. Check this out, Kurt. May 19th. That's their next race. And then Charlotte, May 23rd. So only the strong survive on that one, right?
Yeah.
That's 4 days apart. you got to understand, some of these guys are driving haulers in enclosed trailers like, you know, our old school. And that's Toledo, Ohio to Charlotte. But yeah. But yeah, Travis Braden has the points lead. Michael Self, Brett Holmes, Joseph Grath, and then, hey, Christian Eckes. You know, I really need to figure out a plan to get down to Elko for that one, because these guys do not suck. Even though last year, and I shouldn't say even though, but yeah, when you consider Sheldon Creed, who took the series last year, he had a poor finish. Maybe not a poor finish, but a struggling finish. Like 13th, 14th, something like that. And then Ed Elko. And now this year, we got Haley, we got Tanner, we got... So here's one for you. K&N East. Tanner Gregg crossed the United States, and he won one of the Twin 100s at South Boston Speedway. South Boston Speedway is neither south You okay there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
I heard a noise. But yeah, Tanner Gray, you know, my drag racing buddy that I need to meet someday. From the Pro Stock division, that was kind of a, you know, we'll see what happens. Yeah, he took his first in the K&N East Series at South Boston Speedway, where a few guys that you might recognize, well, there's a guy named Jeff. There's a guy named Elliot Sadler. And then there's this guy that grew up on
South. I wish I had something like a shot through the window. That's the 11th time this year I've gotten the hell knocked out of me. It just gets frustrating after a while.
11th car got into me, cut the left front down. We run like shit all day anyway.
Yeah, Tanner Gray won on that track that Ward was bitching about. So. But yeah, the Pro Stock division guy, everyone was like, I had to call in to a couple of shows and just be like, you know what, this MF-er is a racer. Guess what happened? The guys at DGR said, no, we're not interested in that kind of promo. I'm like, that's all right. So, Tanner Gray wins one of the Twin 100s at South Boston. The young Sam Mayer, 15 years old, took second. There was also Haley Deegan. You probably never heard of her. She
never.
She took 10th in the first of the Twin 100s, and then the second of the 100s got rained out. She had already ran 20 laps, so she still got points. It's the same as NASCAR rules. Derek Krause, he won the other of the twin 100s. So, but they, you know, they had other races and whatnot going on. K&A and Wes will run this coming weekend at Tucson. I'm not sure if Tanner and Haley and, you know, guys like Rick, or not Rick. Why am I screwing up this guy's name? Who cares? Indy drivers had some downtime, and now they return to their namesake Speedway on the road course this weekend, Saturday, May 11th. Like I mentioned early on in the show, and I know you didn't hear that, but they Mother's Day is, I don't know if you want to call it a day off, but they have to, you know, can't disrespect Mother's Day. After May 11th, the series will be hitting the Super Speedway, the, you know, the mothership, May 14th through the 17th for qualifying practice, and qualifying to begin. Knockout qualifying, actually, on the 19th, with the speeds being set on the 18th, the day before. And Eli's will race another track. I'm not real clear on this. There is something about qualifying versus the infield road course versus racing on the mother track. So, but who cares? Captain Kurt reminded me about something I heard in the off season. Actually, the Formula 3000 season is running all female six race season. So I know that Catherine Legge, part of the IMSA series, is going to or is a part of that series. Oh my God, I am tired of doing all the talking here. Let's keep speeding ahead then. World of Outlaws this Friday, May 10th and 11th. Guess where? Eldora. You might have heard of it.
I've heard of Eldora.
Who owns it?
Is that Mr. Stewart?
Yes, sir. So, I only have the points. But yeah, Mr. Brad Sweet has two wins this year. Donnie Schatz with one puts him in second. Darren Pittman, two wins. Mr. Gravel in the Underwear. God, I gotta quit talking crap about these. Oh, I just said crap as I'm talking about Gravel in the Underwear. And then Carson Macedis. Macedis. I don't know. I always struggle with the names. But yeah, they'll be at Eldora this weekend for the 10th and 11th. And, yeah, take it from there. Hey, we're heading to Kansas. Dude! Not sweet. Who's your car?
At Kansas?
We can be optional here, but yeah. Not clothing optional, but
You know what? I'm taking Mr. Bush because I get tired of him. So.
I say clothing optional, and the first thing you say is Bush.
That's right. Huh.
All right, there's two Bushes, and they both start with K. I need to know which one in what division.
Oh, Kurt. Oh, I always say Kurt. That way he'll finish way back. Because that's what seems to be happening to me.
I haven't done much better. My previous week's pick has always been the following week's winner. Kind of. Boy, you know, last time I was at Kansas, Logano got it. You know me. There's just no way in the minions that I can vote on Logano, but I'm going Logano. Sorry.
All right.
I'm thinking home field is Clint Bowyer because there's no Rusty Wallace, Kenny Wallace, Mike Wallace. Yeah. I just put it on the screen and, you know, my smart bet goes to Logano. He's the last one that won there when I was at that track. And oh, ouch. I almost want to quag in my throat. All right. Let's break free of that. I know what the smart bet is, and I know who I'm a fan of. And speaking of smart bets and who you're a fan of, here we go, multi-sports. Kyle Rudolph, you like him?
No, it never bothered me. He's got good hands.
I don't even want to know how you know. Kyle Rudolph possibly is headed out. You hear who's most likely going to?
No.
Patriots.
Oh, yeah, I think I did hear that.
So that's the most recent news I got. Mr. Anti-Twins Pitching, Mark Rosen. He thinks Kyle's going to wear purple and... you know, hi Kira. So right now it's looking like Kyle Rudolph is the heads and tails of the coin right now. It's not the first time that we've seen this. So, anyways, Maximum Security withdraws from Preakness.
Yeah.
Guess who else did?
Who?
Kentucky winner.
Really?
Country House is out. And this, you know, I wish we had like our own horse racing show. I would probably either charge Paul Allen a shit ton of money or something. But yeah, Country House is also withdrawn. Finally, the one for next year, obviously, you know, Pharaoh. For people listening in, you have to understand that where'd you get those pictures of Pharaoh?
I got them for Christmas.
Mom got them for you? All right, so it's crazy. American Pharaoh sired a son right at the same time that Justify took the first win last year, and can you imagine being a promoter, being a a track owner, freaking NBC. And all of a sudden, your second two Triple Crown races don't mean a freaking dime. That's what we have going on right now. So, with Maximum Security out and the Country House withdrawn and just. It'd be kind of like playing the first game of the NFL, the MLB, the first race of the year at Daytona. And all of a sudden, you don't have a season.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see where it goes. But, next year, there's going to be a shit ton of a ton of excitement for finally the one, American Pharaoh's sire. Berg, do I have that backwards? For the one that American Pharaoh sired, or for American Pharaoh's sire?
Well, he's a dad, so.
He's a dad. And got to start over next year on this one because this is a mess. Why do I care about horses? I don't know. But it's horsepower. I'm not the one that chose to rename the power of an engine to horsepower. I just cover it. So. Aaron Rodgers, Milwaukee Bucks. They're a favorite after starting out the season at 16 to 1, and they're now 6 to 1.
Yeah.
And this after the Bucks didn't really impress anyone last season. They, there's a lot of kicking it around that Aaron Rodgers, what a waste of money on that basketball team. Now they're right up front. They are the Final Four as far as professional basketball. So, any feelings?
Yeah, they are. That's the team I am rooting for in the NBA right now. So, don't know if they're going to do it.
Who's the big names?
But,
who's the big names there?
For the Bucks, I don't know who their stud is, but.
Yeah, I'm watching the corner angle of my screen here, and we got 44. actually 14 minutes left. And Cornelius and Oxborough, if you guys want to call in, we are kind of hitting the final stride. No pun
intended. Is that Kentucky? Oxborough.
What are you talking? No, that's Nick Oxborough, the Elkhorn driver.
Oh, I thought it was the town because there's an Oxborough I've heard of. So,
no,
I thought it was the town.
Yeah, it's difficult lining up guests. It really is, and I know that our buddies over at Fan for Racing, they had trouble. You know, it kind of goes that way. You can't. I would have to say that I'm not ESPN. I'm not Fox Sports 1. I'm not Fox Sports 2. I'm not Fox Sports Classic. And, you know, every once in a while, though, things happen. And I'm always looking for that best show. So, but, yeah, as far as Aaron Rodgers' Bucks, I remember when we were kicking the crap around about you know, Milwaukee Bucks, Aaron Rodgers, and Danica Patrick getting together. And yeah, it's fun, but maybe I'm going to have to eat some crow here. Hang out with Aaron Rodgers and be like, I'm sorry. But yeah, this after the Bucks really didn't impress much last season. I don't, Kurt, I really don't have a clue how bad they were. But obviously they don't. At a 16-1 in Vegas, I don't know what that means based on, you know, they're promising for the championship, but seems like, I remember a certain Twins team that didn't look as great coming into this year, and they don't.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, yeah, my final statement, my paragraph was this: after the Bucks really didn't impress much last season, I let it in with Twins 23-12.
Yeah.
Taking a break before Detroit comes to town, Twins took 4 of 6 on the road versus the Yankees and Toronto Blue Jays. And then, of course, I come up with my dumbass statement, my fun statement. I shouldn't say dumbass. I should say funass or ass fun. I don't even know. Okay, 32-12. Is there anything symbolic about that number? I mean, okay, 23-12. We could use those as lottery numbers.
Yeah.
Because they have a day off. It's not going to fit into the daily five. Because it's 23-12. Is there anything symbolic? All right. If it was 23-12, how old would I be? I'd be 31 plus 300 years. How many times could I see Halley's Comet at 86 years in its rotation?
Twice.
No.
Yeah, it comes every 75 years.
But we're talking about 2,312.
Hmm.
How many Daytona 500s is that?
A few.
Yeah. A few. All right. Loon's undefeated at home still, right?
No, they lost one at home.
They finally lost one. So we're...
You're talking about the...
A win. Win, draw, and one.
Oh, you're talking about the Loonies? They've gotten beat at home. But...
Well, I knew it was all ties except for one for the time being. But.
So, our first win was against DC, so.
Hey, it's time for an Aussie concert. You park your car on the shoulder of I-94 on Snelling. Oh, my God. I'm getting no calls. So, Loons are now down one. They're up one. And everything else in between. Hey, did they release the 2019-20 NFL schedule yet?
Actually, I think they have. I think they did that about 2 months ago. I think they did that over a month ago. Kind of made a big deal about it.
Well, I remember, when we first kicked off this fun little adventure we got going on, Rich was talking about the entire schedule. And, I was wondering, as far as the Monday and Thursday night, highlight games or Sunday nights, and honestly, I don't give a crap if we play Sunday at noon the entire season. It's just easier that way to follow.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like it when they play on Monday or Sunday nights and I get to use your cable to watch the Cup Series, but, it's what it is. Yeah, ESPN Network doing their thing is just retarded. But, and they wonder why they're sagging ratings. I think I'm ready for final laps. Are you?
I know my engine isn't running super great right now because there's only a couple more big bangs left, and I got to figure out what to do for their final episode. I wanted to have a party, but unfortunately, the other people can't make it. So yes, I am.
I just got completely confused by that. Nobody's got an engine running. And you wanted to have a malfunctioning elevator.
Well, keep playing it over and over and over, and then you'll get it.
I don't have time to do that right now. Here's one for you. And, what's great about really screwing up a show? on other nights, you can save the material for another night. Does Mother's Day include expecting mothers?
Oh, I'm sure it does. Yeah, it does.
Do you want to indulge on that?
I'm guessing probably happened throughout the course of history, so they've been included.
When did Mother's Day start? I mean, I can look up real quick, but no, I'm just thinking, does Mother's Day include expecting mothers? And I mean, you know that being your mother, she would be the type to, you know, contribute a card, a gift, a financial support. But there's others that won't include a baby until it's born, which is fine. Now, okay, so which side are you on? Do you think that expecting mothers should get gifts and cards on Mother's Day?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, does that go for fathers too?
Yeah.
On Father's Day?
Yeah.
All right, now here's where I get belligerent. Expect mothers, right? Waiting for an answer. Expectant mothers, right?
Right!
Expectant fathers, right?
Right.
I'm expecting a chunk of money, but does that make me deserve to be rich on expecting money day?
Oh, God.
You got to roll with me on these final laps, dude. That's kind of
what I would do is I'd keep on telling everybody I'm expecting money. That's what I would do.
Now that kind of goes down the line of credit, right?
Yeah.
APR, annual percentage rate financing. Oh, my God. I could go so far into this, and it's just going to get stupid. I'm going to leave it alone because it's extremely subjective. You ever notice that most license plates don't have a number 1 or lowercase L, you know?
Yeah.
A zero or uppercase zero. I mean, it's like the number zero is also the letter zero. Or even a Q. I mean, come on, give a guy some respect here. I am Q. And I'm guessing it's because it's harder for a cop or a witness to see. I wouldn't be so pissed if somebody saw my car cruising down the street. Or maybe not my car cruising down the street. And there's the zero or lowercase L or number 1. They're calling a lowercase L or... You know, the retardation of the nation when it comes to internet and this fun little show that we do all comes down to this. We're going to make it after all.
Mm-hmm.
You know where I'm going with this?
You could be going anywhere.
What was the most photographed picture during the Final Four?
I don't know.
I just said we're going to make it after all. That should be easy.
Oh. Oh. I never got into Mary Tyler Moore shows, so.
Apparently.
I seen the statue enough. I mean.
You know, it looks a lot bigger when they show it on the news and whatnot. But.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I mean, that. She's actually shorter than me. But yeah, I see Mary Tyler Moore every time I jump the public transit on 7th and Nicollet outside the old Dayton's building. And yeah, it's pretty cool that somehow or another, they designed some guys made a buck or two to sit out there and put a basketball in Mary, in her hand and create some stickum, whether it was rubber, cement, or whatever. And people post. With it was the most photographed location of the NCAA Final Four. Yeah, I don't even think that Captain Kurt has his own picture with Mary Tyler Moore.
No, I do not.
I am so disappointed in you.
Yeah.
All right. That is my final lap.
All right.
So, I do have a lead out. But yeah. I'm still surprised that you thought that Halley's Comet would only be here three times by 2312.
Well, I wasn't paying that close attention. I didn't
I'm
do
used
the numbers.
To it. All right, let's lead out good, and trying to find my notch. I learned what a notch is, by the way, from Tenerby. So we're going to son of a bitch. But the feed went a lot better tonight, so that's all that matters. Hey, Victory Lane goes out to all the moms on Mom's Day, whether you're a soccer mom, a baseball mom, a racing mom, or the mom of some clumsy radio jock trying to report the speed bits in his own way, and stands by myself and Captain Kurt. So, happy Mom's Day to y'all. We're going to bump out wherever you go, get there fast. We'll be on Monday at 7 p.m. for a weekend recap. And may swing for Indy and the Cup Boys. Tune in, watch in. We didn't do the watch in tonight, but that's okay. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Captain Kirk. And let's do it again Monday.
Cool.
Wow.